Sai Ram children, welcome to this week's Children's Hour.
Sai Ram children, and let us welcome this new month of June too.
Oh yes, and as it happens, during the last week of May every year, this year too, we had a lot of children in the ashram, all of them back after their vacation to join the school.
And of course, we managed to catch one interesting child before he could join. And it is the conversation with him that we will be playing later in the program.
But before all that, children, a new year is starting. At least for most of you, for whom school has just begun or is about to begin. So, all should remember to do one thing.
You mean to stitch new uniforms or buy new textbooks and notebooks?
Oh, of course, Prem. That most of them will do anyhow. But new uniforms if they need, new textbooks definitely. But there is one thing you should do before you start something new.
Oh yes, Ganesh. How can we forget Ganesh?
Oh.
Children, you have to remember Ganesh before you start something new.
No, children. You don't have to remember me. You have to remember Lord Ganesha. Because he is called the remover of obstacles, Vigra Vinashaka.
So, whenever we start anything new, we pray to Ganesha and ask him to remove all the obstacles that come in our way, or pray that he gives us the strength to overcome the obstacles.
So children, it is in fact a very good idea to pray to Ganesha every day before you go to school. You know, that is why in all schools and colleges set up by Bhagwan, there will be a Ganesha just before you enter the building.
And there is a Ganesha even in front of the hostels. And you know what children? There is a very, very special Ganesha in front of the hostel.
Oh, Prem, I know what you are talking about. One of our seniors in college had a very special experience with that Ganesha. You know what it is, children?
Oh, it is very, very special. It sounds almost like a fairy tale. But wait. We are not going to tell you what happened. You will listen to it in the voice of that student himself who had this very special experience.
This happened when I was studying in the college. It was the initial few days in the hostel. One fine morning, as I got ready to go to the institute, the hostel bell had rung for going to the institute and I stepped out of the hostel. I offered my prayers to the little Ganesha there. And then suddenly he spoke. He said, "Why is it that all of you boys are leaving me here alone and going to the institute?" I realized it must be pretty lonely in the hostel when all boys go to the institute. So I said, "Lord, why don't you accompany me? I would be very happy." And then he seemed pleased with that and he came down from his little enclave and his vehicle followed him and we walked towards the institute. His form was beautiful. His form was coming only up to the level of my chest. He had a beautiful yellow and green silk. And his trunk was swaying beautifully in the air and sometimes it was resting on the protruding belly. And we started speaking. He narrated few of those incidents of how he became the Agrapujya, how he got his elephant trunk. As we were conversing and moving towards the institute, a lot of vehicles were coming on the road and Lord Ganesha was to my right. And I was apprehensive if some vehicle would hit him. And then he realized my apprehension and he said, "You need not worry. I am visible only to you and nothing can affect me." I was relieved and once we reached the institute, I walked up to the temple of Lord Ganesha where we all, where boys offer their prayers before they go to the class. He walked with me and then he got into the position of the institute Ganesha. Or received the prayers of all the boys and I took leave of him and went to the classes. After the classes, when it was lunchtime, I came out of my classroom and then he was ready to accompany me back to the hostel. And this time we spoke various things about material and spiritual topics. And as we reached the hostel, I was apprehensive, like what would be the lunch for Lord Ganesha. I would be going for the lunch. And then he sensed it. He said, food for me is your studies or your vidya and your jnana. I don't need any other food. You study well, that is enough for me. He got into his little enclave and I went to inside the hostel, had my lunch, got ready for my afternoon classes. And when I came out of the hostel to go for the classes, he accompanied me again. And this time I was prepared, I was thinking to ask him so many things. And then he said, from henceforward, we shall not talk, our walks will be quiet. I accepted that and then the walks continued. He used to accompany me to the institute. Many times he would accompany me to the library also. And the form was so beautiful, it would remove all the sorrows of life. And I had found my true friend, my soul companion. Thank you.
Oh, how did you like that experience, children? Oh God, how excited I would be if I get to see that Ganesha like that.
Oh, I would start jumping in joy. So did you see, children? God can appear before anyone at any time. These are not just some fancy stories. And you remember, Sumna Madam had told you a story a few weeks back about a little boy Gopal who made friends with Lord Krishna himself, and Krishna would walk with him to school every day.
Oh yes, this Ganesha story is so similar to that. And children, a very beautiful thing happened. After we played that story, one of our little friends wrote to us with a lot of questions. How do I make friends with Krishna? There are no forests around where I live. And I go to school by bus. Then how do I call out to Krishna?
Oh my God, they were very, very difficult questions for us to answer. We did try to answer a few of them, but they were definitely not too easy. So we prayed to Swami, saying, Swami, only you can give answers to such bright children, not us.
And this morning, we got a mail from our friend Bharat. It seems he had gone on a vacation. There he had a dream in which he saw Swami. And can you believe it, children? Swami answered all his questions. He was so delighted that he wrote to us to share the joy.
What do we learn from that Krishna story, that Ganesha story, and what happened with our little listener? God always listens to our prayers. We should never think, oh, what is this? God is so silent, he never says anything. What is the point in talking to him?
You should pray with all your heart and pray with the confidence that Swami is listening. Believe that Swami is your best friend.
And we pray, children, someday or the other God will speak to us. And we all pray that Swami speaks to each one of you. But for that, you should be good children, because that is what God likes. Do not hurt anyone physically or through your words.
And always love and respect your parents. Nothing attracts God more than goodness. So be good children. You will automatically be dear to God.
Take my hand and lead the way.
Swami, take my hand.
Jesus, take my hand. Dear Lord, take my hand. Take my hand and lead the way.
Swami, take my hand. Jesus, take my hand. Dear Lord, take my hand. Take my hand and lead the way.
I'll never forget you. You'll always be with me. Dear Lord, take my hand. Take my hand and lead the way.
I'll never forget you. You'll always be with me.
Protector, mother and father, dear Lord, take my hand and lead the way.
Your guide and protector, mother and father, dear Lord, take my hand and lead the way.
Your guide and protector, mother and father, dear Lord, take my hand and lead the way. Service, peace and contentment. Dear Lord, take my hand and lead the way.
Teach me loving service, peace and contentment. Dear Lord, take my hand and lead the way.
Teach me loving service, peace and contentment. Dear Lord, take my hand and lead the way.
Teach me loving service, peace and contentment.
Take my hand, Jesus, take my hand. Dear Lord, take my hand and lead the way.
Swami, take my hand, Jesus, take my hand. Dear Lord, take my hand and lead the way.
I'll never forget you, you'll always be with me. Dear Lord, take my hand and lead the way.
I'll never forget you, you'll always be with me. Dear Lord,
protector, mother and father, dear Lord, take my hand and lead the way.
Your guide and protector, mother and father, dear Lord, take my hand and lead the way.
Teach me loving service, peace and contentment, dear Lord, take my hand and lead the way.
Teach me loving service, peace and contentment, dear Lord,
teach me loving service, peace and contentment. Dear Lord, take my hand and lead the way.
Teach me loving service, peace and contentment. Dear Lord, take my hand and lead the way. Swami, take my hand. Jesus, take my hand. Dear Lord, take my hand and lead the way.
Let us continue with our program then, children. You know, Ganesh, we've heard so many important facts from our doctor. She spoke about so many organs and systems in the human body.
Yes, yes. From top to toe. And each organ is amazingly so fascinating.
Oh, yes. And that is the very problem. Which system in the human body is the most important, Ganesh?
That reminds me of a small story, Prem.
Oh, you mean a story that resolves this confusion? That would be interesting.
Yes. Once, the various organs of the body had a fight and argument as to who among them is the most important. The nervous system said, "I am the most important because I have the brain. I control and regulate the whole body." Then, the digestive system said, "No way. I am the most important. For I have the mouth and the stomach. If not for me, the body will not get any nourishment at all."
Both seem to be right. Then what happened?
Then the circulatory system said, "The stomach may digest, the brain may think, but if not for the blood flowing, none of you will be getting the energy. Then no use of digestion, and the brain too will not function."
Oh, that's very true. Blood is very important, you see.
Then the skeletal system said, "Wait, wait. How can there be even a human body without me? Without strong bones, won't the body be reduced to a lump?"
Of course, of course. Without bones, we cannot sit, cannot stand, cannot even hold a pen. I just can't imagine a human body without bones. So did they all agree that the skeletal system is the most important?
Not yet, Prem. Then the respiratory system spoke up. "Hello, hello. How can any of you be greater than me? Don't you know a person is dead when breathing stops? Then am I not the most important of all? You better accept me as superior and the leader."
Oh, Ganesh, you told this story will clarify my doubt, but this is making me even more confused.
Wait, wait, Prem. The story isn't over yet. When all these systems were fighting like this, one system was silently listening. It was the excretory system. The system that throws out waste from the body in the form of urine and excreta. The excretory system said, "Why do you all fight like this? We all are equally important. Together, we make the human body work. Where is the question of one being greater than the other?"
This one seems to be very wise. So, did the others accept?
No. The other systems began laughing at the excretory system. They said, "You are the dirtiest system in the body. How can you even think you are as important as any one of us?"
Oh, that is so rude. Then what happened?
The excretory system decided to teach all the organ systems a lesson. So, it just stopped functioning.
My God.
And then you know what happened? The head started aching badly. And with a headache, can you think freely? The brain was just not able to function normally. The stomach started bloating because the waste was not going out.
Right.
So it was no more able to eat peacefully.
And with the toxic substance not going out, the blood must be getting impure.
Exactly. So the circulatory system suffered. Then the body started becoming breathless. The limbs started becoming weak.
On the whole body struggled when this one system shut down. So, with that, did they all accept that the excretory system is the most important?
No. Then the excretory system told all the others, "See friends, all of us are important for this body to function normally. No one is greater than the other. Each one of us should remember this and function to our best of our ability."
Oh, that is a very, very beautiful story, Ganesh. And a very important lesson in the end. So children, no system or organ in the body is less important. Definitely not the excretory system. So isn't it important to learn about this system too?
And that is what Dr. Lata Shri is going to talk to us about. And children, she is going to give some important tips which will be useful even if your parents listen. Shall we listen to it?
Om Shri Sai Ram, offering most humble pranams at the divine lotus feet of our ever-present Lord. Sai Ram children, today we shall learn about the system in the body that removes the waste and the toxins, that is, the excretory system. The excretory system, as we all know, consists of a pair of kidneys, and the functional unit of the kidneys is called the nephron. The excretory activity of the kidneys is regulated by a set of hormones. There are two tubes attached to the kidneys, which are called the ureters, and these carry waste products from the kidney to the urinary bladder. The urine is stored temporarily in the bladder and then it is released out through the urethra. The product of the kidneys is urine. It is a watery solution of waste products from the body, salts, organic compounds, and two important nitrogen compounds called uric acid and urea. These are poisonous to the body and they must be promptly removed in the urine. A hormone called the antidiuretic hormone or ADH regulates the amount of urine by controlling the rate of water absorption in the kidneys. A deficiency of this hormone leads to excessive urination, and this disease is called diabetes insipidus. The content of the urine is also controlled by certain hormones secreted from the adrenal cortex. This is in brief about the structure and the function of the human excretory system. What should we do to keep our kidneys and the other excretory organs in a healthy condition? We need to drink adequate amount of water every day to ensure good quantity of urine to remove the waste and toxins from the body. And in summer, we need to drink more water. And you should also empty your bladder regularly whenever it fills up, and even when you feel slightest urge to pass urine. Some children tend to postpone emptying the bladder and tend to hold urine for a long time, and this leads to urinary infection. Some of the symptoms of urinary infection are pain while passing urine or burning sensation, difficulty in passing urine. Sometimes you can also have high fever with chills. For all these symptoms, you must promptly see a doctor and get the infection treated. Increased frequency of urination, swelling of feet and ankles, and also face, and swelling especially around the eyes can suggest a very serious kidney problem, and these symptoms should not be ignored. You must immediately seek doctor's help. Urinary incontinence is another serious problem wherein there is continuous dribbling of urine without any control. You must always go to doctor whenever you notice such a symptom. Nocturnal enuresis or bedwetting in the night is a very common condition which causes serious concern in both children and parents alike. Bedwetting can be considered to be normal, and it doesn't require any treatment up to the age of 5 years in girls and 6 years in boys. Nighttime bladder control takes longer time in children to get established as compared to daytime bladder control, because the child can easily feel the bladder filling and he can empty the bladder. Some medical conditions also lead to bedwetting. These are diabetes, urinary infection, pinworms in children, kidney failure, or when the child is suffering from seizure disorder or epilepsy or some sleep disorders also. These medical conditions can be easily diagnosed and treated, and bedwetting will stop once these conditions are treated. When there is no underlying medical cause detected for bedwetting, this is the time when both the child and parents should seek medical advice, health education, and counseling to tackle this problem. First of all, we must understand bedwetting is common, and it occurs in about 16% of 5-year-old children at least once a week, and bedwetting goes away as the children grows and it doesn't need any intervention. And as I said, up to the age of 6 years in boys and 5 years in girls. And bedwetting is not the fault of the child, so the child should not be punished for bedwetting, and we should not make fun of the child. Encourage the child to urinate regularly during the day and also just before going to bed. And if the child wakes up at night, take the child to the washroom. And avoid giving sugary and caffeine-containing drinks to the child, especially in the evening. And it may be helpful to have the child drink most of his fluids in the morning and in the early afternoons to prevent overfilling of bladder in the night. you can calculate roughly the total intake of fluids of the child in 24 hours. You can divide it into three parts. The first 40% can be given in the morning time, the next 40% in the afternoon, and in the evening only 20% of the total intake of liquids should be given to the child so that the bladder doesn't fill up in the middle of the night. And you should stop using diapers, especially in older children, because this will prevent the child from wanting to get out of bed, especially if the child is above 6 to 7 years of age. However, diapers can be used for special occasions such as overnight visits with friends and family. You should protect the child's mattress with a waterproof sheet to prevent bad odor of the urine. And also you must always ensure that the child has a thorough good shower or bath daily first thing in the morning to prevent the bad smell. And don't tease the child, don't make fun of the child, and don't allow other siblings to make fun of the child who has this habit of bed wetting. Motivational therapy is a very important form of treatment to tackle this problem. This involves keeping a record of the progress of the child and giving bigger rewards for longer periods of dryness. Self-awakening is also one of the ways to tackle this problem. This aims to teach the child how to recognize when the bladder is full during the daytime. The child can remember this sensation in the night, and it can easily recognize this sensation and avoid bed wetting. Instead, the parent also can wake up the child in the middle of the night with a gentle tap on the shoulder or switching on light or calling out the child and then guiding the child to the washroom. Instead, you can use a simple alarm clock to wake up the child. It can be set to awaken the child after 2 to 3 hours of sleep, whether or not the child is wet or the child has the need to void. And this waking time can be adjusted by determining the time the child is most likely to have a wetting episode, and you can set the alarm just before this time of bed wetting episode. So children with this problem of bed wetting need good support from parents, family, health counselor and family doctor to successfully tackle this problem so that they can overcome this problem without much stress and can lead a normal life. This is about some of the problems of excretory system seen in children, and this is all for the day. Jai Sai Ram.
Did you all listen carefully, children? So if you have any of the problems that was mentioned by the doctor, don't feel embarrassed or low about it.
It can definitely be overcome with the right direction. So if you have this problem, ask your parents to listen to that talk by the doctor and follow those tips. You can easily overcome the problem.
Isn't it beautiful, children? A problem such as this can be very embarrassing. You cannot tell it to your friends and classmates. Some of them may even laugh at you. But children, remember, you should not laugh at others with such problems. But the point I'm making is, when others may laugh at us, our parents never. They in fact get worried and do whatever it takes to relieve us of the problem, isn't it?
Yes, and that is because of the love they have for us. When there is love, everything is taken care of. That is why love is the most important quality, children.
Then why not listen to a nice story about this quality of love? Listen carefully, children, for love is the greatest treasure we can have. So anything that enables us to develop love is actually making us richer and richer.
Let us listen to this beautiful story on the quality of love.
Once upon a time, there was an island where all the feelings lived. Happiness, sadness, richness, knowledge, vanity, joy, and all the others, including love, lived in this little patch of earth floating on the vast ocean. One day, it was announced to all the feelings that the inevitable was indeed going to happen. The island was going to sink to the bottom of the ocean. All of you, happiness, sadness, richness, vanity, joy, whoever you are, prepare your boats and leave this island as soon as possible. So, immediately, everyone in their own sails set off to safer locations. Except one. Love was the only one that stayed on. Love wanted to preserve that little paradise until the last possible moment. And when water started rising and rising and the island was almost totally under, Love decided that there was nothing more that she could do. It was time for her to leave too. And so she began looking for someone to ask for help. Just then, Richness was passing by in a grand boat. So Love asked, "Richness, can I come with you on your boat, please?" "I'm sorry, there is a lot of gold and silver on my boat, and there would be no room for you anywhere." Love was dejected. And then, Love saw Vanity in a beautiful vessel. Her spirits livened up, and she cried out, "Oh Vanity, can you help me please?" "Oh no, I cannot help you. You will damage my beautiful boat. You are so wet. I'm sorry." Love was filled with sadness. And now, as she raised her head, she saw Sadness passing by. "Sadness will definitely understand my predicament," Love thought. And so, she called out, "Oh Sadness, Sadness, please, can you let me go along with you?" "Oh Love, I understand your problem, Love, but you know, I just need to be alone now. I'm so sad. I have lost so many things. I'm sorry, I cannot help you." Love was now crestfallen. Even Sadness could not sympathize with her. She lost all hope. And as she resigned herself to her cruel fate, suddenly Love saw Happiness. That was a ray of hope. So enthusing herself, Love cried out, "Oh Happiness, please, please, can you take me with you?" But Happiness was so overjoyed that he didn't even hear Love calling out to him. Yet another chance had gone by. Now there was absolutely no hope. Love began to cry. Is there nobody on this earth willing to come to my rescue? She sat there sobbing, her head bent on her knees. She thought that was her end. And then something happened. Love heard a soothing voice, and it said, "Come on, love. Love, come on. I will take you with me." And when love looked up, it was an elder. Love felt so blessed, so happy, in fact overjoyed, that she forgot to even ask the elder his name. And together they crossed the ocean. And when they arrived on land, the elder went on his way. Love was so grateful to that elder. She knew she owed a lot to that elder. But in the midst of all that, in the joy of being rescued, of being alive, love just forgot herself. Finally, there was someone to care for her, to understand her. And in that joy, as she walked on the land, love found knowledge. And so, she now took the opportunity and asked knowledge, "Oh, knowledge, can you tell me who that elder was who saved me so compassionately and lovingly?" "Oh, he was time. But why did time help me when no one else in this world even bothered to look at me?" Knowledge now smiled and in a deep, caring voice said, "Oh dear love, that is because it is only time who is capable of understanding how great love is. Only time can understand how precious love is. Only time knows the value of every moment of love." Dear listeners, Bhagwan Baba always says, time is God. If there is anybody who understands our love always in the right manner, it is God. But at the same time, one has to be patient. One has to pray and leave the rest to Him. For God always chooses the right time, the best time to respond to our love. And that is because God is nothing but love. He alone understands love. He is time who understands love, who understands our heart. He alone understands and rewards love.
We hope you like that little story, children. So what did you learn from that story? Can you tell us in one paragraph the lesson you learned from that story, children?
Send it to us in a mail. And as all of you know, you should send it to listener@radiosai.org. That is listener@radiosai.org.
Now, children, it's time for our favorite part of the program, where finally we have a child speaking on Children's Hour. Yes, a short conversation with a kid.
And as we mentioned in the beginning, this is a student of the primary school, and we recorded this conversation a day before he returned to his hostel. Let us listen. This kid does have a lot of interesting things to share.
Sairam, dear listeners, the children, we have a very, very interesting guest this week. with prayer to Swami. Let us invite him to our studio. Sai Ram, brother.
Sai Ram.
Would you like to introduce yourself to our listeners?
Yes.
Your good name?
Sai Srivatsa Mohan.
Okay, and you study in the primary school here?
Yes.
So you're going to which class?
I'm going to 7th standard now.
Okay. So how's your vacation? You just come back from your vacation?
Yes, I enjoyed it very well.
So where do you live?
I live in Machilipatnam.
Machilipatnam, that's near the coast.
Yes.
So you live close to the beach?
No, I don't live close to the beach. The beach is 10 kilometers away from where I live.
Okay, so you like going to the beach?
Yes, I like.
What's nice about the beach? Because there are many children who might not have seen a beach in all their life. What is so special about a beach? What do you like about going to a beach?
I like to go to beach. Means the beach contains salt and water.
Okay.
When the salt falls in our eyes, sometimes we get cleansed, our eyes get cleaned.
Okay.
So another thing is that when you go to beach, you should visit a beach once in a year because when you have bath like thing in a beach,
mm-hmm.
Your body gets cleansed.
Okay. Machilipatnam is a place Swami visited very, very long back, isn't it?
Yes.
You have any idea which year Swami came to Machilipatnam?
No, I don't have.
I think it was one of the first places Swami went to. 1940s, 1950s, Swami used to come to Machilipatnam.
Yes, I know, but I don't have any idea of the year.
Okay. It's a nice place. And what else is Machilipatnam famous for? Is there any big temple or any old place of worship?
Yes, near Machilipatnam, Chilakalapudi,
mm-hmm.
It's one place. There one Panduranga Swami temple,
okay.
Very old temple is situated there.
Mm-hmm.
It's next to the sea and it has all the gods are worshipped there.
Okay.
There is no thing that only this god should be worshipped here. All gods together, it's one big temple where all gods are worshipped equally. Mm-hmm.
Suppose somebody asks you, why should we go to a temple first of all? Like, why is it necessary to go visit temples, do pujas and all that? What do we get out of doing all that?
The benefit of puja is, somebody said, why should we go to temples and do puja? Why God is present everywhere,
mm-hmm.
like that. But they said that when we go to temples,
mm-hmm.
else we get the vibration of God. God, when we are in home, we don't feel any vibrations that God is present or anything. But when we go to the temple, we feel the vibration that God is present there and we can feel His presence more in a temple than your own house and everything.
You feel like that when you go to a temple?
Yes, I do feel like that.
So when you joined primary school here, that time Swami was still giving darshan.
Yes.
You remember those days? You should remember having Swami's darshan?
Yes, I remember.
Anytime Swami came, spoke to you or gave a bhuti to you?
No, when I joined the school, Swami didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But before, I remember.
Okay. I think you were fortunate to get an interview from Swami or something.
Yes, yes, this interview.
Right, oh, you have a beautiful photo there. I know your grandfather was a very old devotee, right?
Yes, so my Swami grandfather.
What is your grandfather's name?
My grandfather's name was Krishna Mohan Rao.
Okay.
He was very old devotee of Swami. From 1985 onwards, he was a devotee of Swami. And before that, he was engaged in all other political activities.
Mm-hmm.
When he came to Swami, he surrendered totally and Swami guided him throughout his life.
Mm-hmm. So what memories you have of that interview? You remember anything what Swami told you?
Yes,
what
in Swami the book I have mentioned.
Mentioned in a book, yeah, so that brings me to the topic. Srivats Mohan has written 5 books. How old are you?
I am 12 years right now.
At the age of 12, you've written 5 books. Okay, and I have all of them here, beautiful books. One is called Pravara and its Benefits. One is Last Word from the Divine.
In that book, I have written.
The book Last Word from the Divine.
Yes.
Okay, and there is one book, Sai Prema. Then
yes.
There is one book, Sweet Music for the Divine.
Yes.
and Sai Mahimas.
Yes.
So let's start with the last word from the Divine. What have you mentioned there about your interview?
First, I have mentioned about the interview. Naturally, Swami will speak in Telugu.
Mm-hmm.
We came to the interview, and I remember that day, so many of my family members were present.
Okay.
I was present, my brother, my father, my grandmother, and my grandfather, means another grandmother, my mother's mother,
okay,
and my uncle were present there in the interview room. And Swami took photo with a few limited members.
Mm-hmm.
He did not take all.
Okay.
He first photo, as we can see, mm-hmm, he took first Swami, then my father, grandfather, mm-hmm, brother, I and my grandmother.
Okay.
And other photo, I, Swami, my grandfather and my grandmother came half in that photo.
Okay.
With these people only, Swami took photo, but the other people also came to the interview room.
Mm.
Then first he created Vibhuti for me, and he told me to put it.
Mm.
So, I that time I was very small, I didn't know. I put Vibhuti.
How old were you then? Two and a half?
Three.
3 years old, okay.
3 years, 3 months exactly.
Okay.
So, I didn't know much, so I just put the Vibhuti and I ate little. Whatever was remaining, I applied it on Swami's room.
Okay. Then, did Swami say anything?
No, Swami didn't say anything.
Okay.
Then, after that, Swami asked me so many things.
Mm-hmm.
Then, my brother was bought. That time, he was just months old baby.
Okay.
And he didn't have name at all. And then, before that, Swami asked me, which class are you studying, 4th or 5th? then my grandfather said, Swami, he didn't even have his Akshara Abhyasam.
Okay.
Means he didn't even start writing his alphabets.
The initiation into,
yes,
writing and learning has not yet been done.
Yes.
Okay.
Then Swami told him, I know, you don't need to tell me, I know.
Mm-hmm.
Then he kept on asking me. That time I didn't know how to answer all these questions.
Okay.
So I didn't tell anything. Then he asked me, do you want to become a doctor or engineer?
Mm-hmm.
Then that also I don't know how I'll get a job, then what doctor and engineer.
Okay. You didn't know what it is. What is to be a doctor or
doctor
be?
And engineer.
Okay.
I didn't have idea. So I just kept quiet. Then Swami told, I will myself make him a doctor.
Oh.
Swami told. And Swami asked my father, do you know how much money will it take? How much money will it take to become a doctor?
Mm-hmm.
Then my father said some lakhs or crores. Then Swami said, don't worry, I shall take care of him.
So sweet. Then?
Then after that, my brother was bought. And then that time he was just sleeping. So as soon as Swami held him, he started crying because he just got up from sleep.
Okay.
So then Swami just stroke him, and then Swami told, I shall name him.
Mm-hmm.
Then first Swami told, I shall name him Sai Jyoti. my uncle said, Swami, it's a boy, not a girl.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami said, Sai Jwala Prasad. Then mm-hmm, my uncle asked, what Swami? Swami said, Sai Jwalaprasad.
Swami spelled,
yes,
out the whole name.
Swami spelled out the whole name.
Okay. You remember all this so clearly. It was so long ago and you were such a small child.
Yes.
But you still remember all this clearly, or other people told you that all this happened?
No, I remember this clearly.
Mm-hmm.
Before the interview also I remember, and I remember this applying. I applied it on Swami also.
Remember.
Some things I don't remember, but I remember most of the things what Swami did that day.
Mm. So when did you start writing books? Because I remember as a 3-year-old kid talking to you, and even that time you used to tell about, you used to tell story of Ramayana, you used to tell Chinnakathas. So when did you start writing?
Oh, writing books, it started in third standard.
Yes. Okay.
I thought, why should I not write books? That time I didn't even have enough knowledge and everything. I just wrote off some book. And
so you wrote in Telugu or you wrote in English?
No, English. That time I had forgotten Telugu fully. So I wrote in English. First book which I wrote was the Sai Mahimas.
Okay.
It doesn't have all that glossary and everything because that time I didn't know that something called glossary existed.
Okay.
And only introduction it actually contains. Introduction and some contents. And very, that time when I started, it was very, I wrote it in very crude way, I can
very
say.
Very simple language.
Very simple. Means not the language. The language, it would not make much sense of what I wrote.
Okay, but you could convey whatever you wanted to.
Yes,
express.
I could convey what I could express, but it won't make any sense.
Mm-hmm. So that was your first book, Sai Mahima.
And then later on, in first book, in sixth again, I thought, why should I? That time it was not at all named Sai Mahimas. It was named some, My Experiences with Swami was that name.
Okay.
That time, and some pages I wrote, some pages I didn't even staple it and just gave it off. My parents anyway preserved it.
Mm-hmm.
Then in fifth standard ending, I thought, why should I just leave that? Now I have the knowledge, I should continue it. Why should I leave it off? And then fifth standard again, I wanted to get it to school. So in fifth standard, I finished my holidays and I wrote some, added some things and got it, that book originals, I got it in the pinning machine, I got it done.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was full empty, no page numbers, nothing. So I put page numbers, I wrote something and still it was looking full empty.
Okay.
And I brought that book to school. The teacher couldn't understand one bit because I wrote in some handwriting. And then the teacher was anyway little okay, he's very good boy, the teacher thought, and it finished for that time. Then in sixth standard again, I thought I should write. And whenever I could get some free time, I used to write that book. And in that way, I finished that book in middle. Like so many years to complete that book. Finally, I finished it. And whatever corrections I could do, I did it in that book. And I somehow improved it. Whatever.
In your sixth standard.
Yes, that.
So in the next 1 year, you've written four more.
Yes, that same year I have written four more books.
Okay. So that was Sai Mahima. And then last word, of course, you said what was there. Anything else Swami told in that interview which you would like to share?
Then in the interview, yes, Swami said one more thing.
Mm-hmm.
That time I had this tumor. Okay. It was very big. Half of my eye was covered.
Near your eye.
Yes, half of my eye was covered. Eh? And even if in first standard also it was like that, when I used to wear specs, it used to come like this because it used to cover.
Because of the size of the swelling, okay.
Yes, when I was small, it was very small, like a mosquito bite.
Okay.
But then when I started growing, it also started growing.
It grew with you, okay.
Yes. So that time they all suggested to do operation.
Okay.
Then my father told that to Swami. Then Swami said, do not worry, it will go on its own, do not do operation, but if you do operation, it will become a black mark and it won't look nice. So my father said, okay, but when I was to join my first standard, that time, headmistress auntie told, now you can't leave it like this, you have to do operation.
Okay.
Then my father gave many letters to Swami after that, saying, please do something about the tumor, at least give us permission to do operation.
Mm-hmm.
And everything my father did.
Okay.
But Swami did not respond. He felt like that. Swami did not respond at all. Then I joined the school. We also went to many doctors saying, this tumor has to be operated. But the doctors said, Swami has said not to do, then we will also not do. So we just left it off. Then finally, we had sports meet in first standard.
Mm-hmm.
I returned from the sports meet, and when my parents saw it, disappeared almost. Then they understood that Swami did it. It and now we can see hardly it's there. Yes.
There is one more nice thing that happened.
Yes.
In that interview,
he said this also.
So then, all these books are nice, but I don't understand this book. What is this Pravara? What is that book about?
It's
Pravara and its benefits.
Yes.
Yeah, tell us about that book.
About this book, yes, I said, Pravara is a verse from the Sandhya Vandanam.
Okay.
Who learn Sandhya Vandanam, they'll be able to understand.
Okay.
And every means, I made one meaning.
Mm-hmm.
The actual meaning is also there.
Mm-hmm.
Means I got to know the meaning.
Okay.
And I have written that Pravara.
Mm-hmm.
But for every word, I have made one meaning.
Mm-hmm.
The mantra, I have the meaning.
Okay.
And that Pravara and its benefits.
Mm-hmm.
And then one story is there saying that chanting Pravara is very helpful to us.
Mm-hmm.
Pravara and Sandhya Vandanam very helpful to us. Mm-hmm. That I have
so
written.
This is what you've written. Pravara is Prakriti Subhava. Is this the one you have written or this is the
yes,
actual one?
This is the one I have written. Pra in Sanskrit, Pra means it will become one letter. Pa and
right.
Ra.
Mm.
So it will become Pra.
Mm.
Pra is Prakriti Svabhava, God.
Mm-hmm.
Or Va is Vishwam,
mm-hmm.
the world. And Ra is Rutu, the seasons.
Mm-hmm.
That's the meaning I have made.
Okay.
And another thing I said, Pra stands for Brahma,
mm-hmm.
Va stands for Vishnu, and Ra stands for Rudra or Shiva.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So many books have already written. So what is the next book coming?
First is Sai Mahima, second
mm-hmm.
is Pravara and its benefits.
Mm-hmm.
Third one which I wrote was Sweet Music for the Divine.
What is that about?
And that is about the songs I have composed.
Oh, you compose songs also?
Yes.
You sing?
Actually, first Sai Mahimas I wrote.
Mm-hmm.
That took a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
Then Pravara and its benefits, every day in my meditation I used to recollect everything. Every day in a prayer hall meditation and in everything I was getting and one more thing in the Pravara, that book has been completed within one full day.
Mm-hmm.
Means only one day it took to me
to write
the full book. First day that time our teacher was going round rounds checking on maths homework. That time she saw that book. She opened only introduction and everything empty. Then she just smiled and went off. Then next time when she came back the other period, she saw that the book was full.
Okay.
And
so she was surprised.
Yes.
Children, Srivatsa Mohan actually spoke a lot more about the books he has written. After all, he has written 5. So the rest of the conversation we will listen to the next week.
Okay, children, see, today we spoke so much to you that we are actually running into the next program. So we better get going now. Meet you all next week.
Yes, children. See you all next week. Till then, be good, children. Be happy and have fun. Sai Ram, children.
Sai Ram, children.